That's right. That's right. Okay, ready to roll? Let me see. Transcript's good. Okay, ready? Let's roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet
All right, and welcome back to Build It. That's the way Nick would say it if he was here, but he's not, and we're still having a good time with Powdim. So this is John, your familiar sidekick, with very special friend and guest of ours, Mr. Andrew Grum, who's waving at the camera, even though this may just be an audio podcast, but that's still very nice. So hello, Grum, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, John? You're actually doing your job.
I'm always doing my job. I'm doing your job. I'm doing Nick's job. I'm doing everyone's job. No, all is well. Looking forward to chatting with you. Why don't you just provide a little background about you right now, and then we'll get into some sports stuff.
All right. Well, so my name is Andrew Grum. I am currently a student at Northern Illinois University. I've been in the Sycamore area ever since I could remember. Went to Sycamore High School, have known the area as long as I can remember. Right now, I'm studying sport management. Basically all, you know, I like to always explain it because sometimes people get a little confused on like, well, what does that entail? It's like an English degree. It's like, what can you do with that? Basically, it's just business, but in the sport world, because the sport world, as we'll get into later today, it's very unique. It's a very unique sort of industry that we work in. Basically, it's just an overview of all those aspects with a little bit of actual business sprinkled in there. I'm set to graduate by the summer, so I only have one actual semester left. Been working with the club for, what now, a year and a half, almost 2 years, something like that. Was just an intern. Nick roped me in somehow. I don't know if it was his foreign charm or what, but he got me in pretty easily. Me and John had a five-minute conversation, and I was in. So been loving it since. I just started at the King County Cougars, which I know a lot of locals will probably be familiar with, as a ticket sales intern. So I'm mainly doing ticket packages. I've been doing some fundraising as of recent, much different than a lot of the jobs that I have been in before, but overall I've been enjoying it. And on the side, I used to compete in powerlifting. I played football for 12 years, played soccer when I was five, like everyone else. So it's really weird to see a big old burly guy like me over here who talk about soccer, but yeah. I love what we do here. That's the main thing. And again, we'll get into that. I just love what we do here. So that's why I'm here.
Sure. It's been fun. One of the things that is rewarding about the club is the really like just the impact stuff, and the impact's the buzzword I've been using lately, but not just for the players and player development and fans, but we've had some pretty great people come through, whether it's as just volunteers, coaches, interns, whatever, but you know, like everybody leaves hopefully having learned something, not because we're experts by any means, but just because we try to be real welcoming and stuff. And I think that's definitely been the case with you. And you've also committed all the way, jumped in with both feet. So it's been wonderful, and I'm glad you're still with us. And it's cool to see you getting to different sport, different organization, and seeing what they bring. So my question for you, Mr. Grum, sports, specific sports don't matter. What have you seen with baseball and soccer at this minor league level that translates, what does translate irrespective of the sport, and what things maybe don't translate that are different?
Wow. Well, that's actually a really good question to ask. I, you know, really at the end of the day, it's, and this is something I also want to touch on a lot when we get more into like the sales side of everything, but like it is a business, right? We're here to, I mean, obviously we're a little bit different. We're a nonprofit. We're not looking to create money. We're looking to filter it back in. So no matter what, the way you got to look at it is that we're not selling a product. We are selling a experience. my mentor and boss over at the King County Cougars, who's been doing this, you know, about as long as I've been alive, he says all the time, we're here to sell fun. That is something that I have really kind of really grasped onto, something that they talked about a lot at, I was at a summit back in Cleveland about a month ago. And the biggest thing they always said was, we're here to sell an experience. And I know that Sarah Levenger, or the last, I don't know if she was the last one that was here, but she had mentioned that as well. And I think that's something that's universal within the industry. It's not about the, you know, flashy things. It's all about just, hey, we're here to provide something that takes you away from the stress, takes you away from all the other experiences. And that's what I think I love about it, right? People want to say, oh, I sold the $1 million car. I sold, well, I want to sell a ticket package and make this 6-year-old's life when he gets to see Anthony Davis at the Lakers, or, you know, Patrick Mahomes at the Chiefs. So it's stuff like that, right? What's different, I will say, is the structure. We, as you know, and a lot of people know, we are very loose. We are very, you know, we go with the flow. And that's what I love about it. I mean, we're all volunteers, right? We don't get paid. You know, there's a sense of professionality that we try to facade, if you will. But we try to have fun and we try to make a difference. With baseball, or at least at the Cougars, it's still fairly laid back, I feel. But there is a job that needs to be done, and it needs to be done in a timely fashion, right? Because we're, if you didn't know, Cougars are an MLB affiliate. Back when COVID was around, or before COVID was around, teams will be affiliated with specific teams and it will be a pipeline and all this stuff. But now the MLB decided, well, we're going to cut down on some of this. And basically you're just affiliated with the MLB. So there's much more pressure, quite honestly. And I mean, like, it's not like it's bad pressure. It's, you know, you got to crush a couple coals to make a diamond, or break a couple eggs to make an omelet. And it's not a bad kind of pressure, but it's definitely like you feel it. I mean, I will be the first to admit, my 2 weeks, I've at least had 1,000 calls. And it's, you know, that's normal. And again, we'll get more into like my experience directly with it, but it's constantly moving. And that's something that I, you know, I respect it. It helps make productivity, but it can be a lot more pressure compared to what we do. So, I mean, obviously there's a big difference between those two, but those are the main differences I've noticed.
So in you're dealing with sponsorships with us, you're dealing with ticketing with the Cougars. And I think this is a cool dynamic, because you simultaneously get two experiences with two different types of organizations. But when you walked in, because I've never been an intern with a minor league baseball team, when you walked in, you were handed the ticket packages and a list of phone numbers to call. Is that how it was? Or were you and others involved in any of the decision-making of what the packages look like, who to target, any of the thought behind it? Or was it kind of like, hey, just crank out the data right now. We've already done the back-end stuff all off-season. Now here's the playbook, go run the plays.
So that's also a great question, because for me, it was first day was literally me sitting with, I call him Mike, or people call him by lots of different names, but I call him Mike. Me and him sat down for about 6 hours and just went over basically what we call warm seats. And God, I gotta remember what the hell he calls the name of the actual thing, but it's a document essentially back that they would sell, where it would be trying to sell out the whole stadium for 80% of the season. So we went over these documents, we went over all these strategies, and a lot of it was stuff that was already kind of second nature, because it, another little tidbit on me, what got me in the sales was Best Buy. I've been a sales associate at Best Buy for over a year now, and they taught me that sales is really kind of what I want to do. I want to debunk more of those sales myths later, but we're trying to stay on topic. As you know, I like to go on tangents. But anyways, we basically went through the playbook of selling and, you know, let me go for the day. I came back. He said, look, here's, you know, we want you to sharpen your teeth on a few things. So here's a couple of just bookkeeping stuff for current ticket holders. And then we're gonna have you sharpen your teeth on like a call list of 850 people. And I'm like, all right, it's cool. I mean, something that you have to remember is with an organization like that, they've been around, technically speaking, since like the late 1800s. They didn't brand to the Cougars until 1991. And then it was, I mean, you got to think they've had well over triple the amount of time than we've had. So what they know is going to stick. And they might tweak a few things and may offer a different package. But at the end of the day, they know what's going to work. And they say, hey, look, sell this. I'm like, all right. It sounds good to me. I know. I understand the product. It's pretty easy. So that's, I mean, that was what it was for the first 2 weeks. You got to remember, I've only been there for 2 weeks now. They want me to do more stuff later on. And I mean, the biggest thing that I'm learning is that starting is the hardest part because you don't have a relationship with any of these people yet. 850 people who literally have no idea who you are. They might have gone to a couple games in the past. You got to just throw it at them and hope it sticks.
So when you, and maybe it hasn't been long enough. So are you tasked with, hey, here's the information, buy a package, and then will you throughout the summer then be their account manager, their point of contact as well? So you aren't just making the front end sale and then off you go. You're actually responsible for making sure that their experience, well, to a certain degree, right, that their experience matches what you sold them in February throughout the rest of the summer, right? So you have to be, you're going to be hands-on with these. You're going to sell 800 out of the 850, right? And then you're going to be hands-on, so to speak, making sure that they have what they need. If they have questions, you're their point of contact. You become the account rep, correct?
That's exactly it. You know, I mean, I would love to sell 800 out of the 850, but, you know, that's not always the case because the big thing in this is something that I'm being taught, and this is something I want to really implement into the club, right? It's no fun to go to a sporting event, and there's 30% of the seats are filled. Nobody wants to go. There's no excitement. That adds to the experience. So their whole thing is we want to fill those seats. That's just how it works. You want to fill those seats because then what does that mean? There's more revenue that can be generated from other areas. And this is how just sports work. And this is how sports work in general. You don't make most of your money up front. You don't do it. That's just not how it works. You got to make it attainable so that when you walk in, oh, well, I have more money to spend on XYZ, and that's where markup is and all that good stuff. So that's the same kind of concept. So that's something I really want to study and implement into our club is that we got to fill the seats. That is like 90% of the game is you want to fill those seats up because then you're like, oh, man. That looks fun to go, right? That looks like a good time.
It's an interesting point, right? And I think there's the opposite school of thought. And you didn't say give tickets away. You didn't say that.
Oh,
but there's the everybody agrees fill the stands, and the things that we've researched and Nick has been all over about this lately is don't devalue your product with free tickets and giveaways and all that. So those short term, it feels like, well, yeah, but if I can get 20 people to come, if I just give them tickets, we'll get everything you said on the back end once they get inside, except you've cheapened it for the long term, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're not coming unless you give them tickets the next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's an interesting thing for people that are running sports organizations or any kind of event, right? It be a freaking rodeo or concert, like finding the balance between having value and being, it's really focused on showcasing your value and what a great deal your $10 or $5 or $20 ticket is, more so than how do I just get artificial butts in seats that aren't fans, that aren't going to be good for the long term. And I think that's an interesting, it's almost the same point and counterpoint at the same time, because you want to, you want to use everything you can do to just drag people there. But also, if you're not willing to pay for it, we kind of don't want you. We want you to want to be here. And I just think that's a tough thing to do. So what kind of, and I don't want to like get all the way into the Cougars business model specifically, but like what kind of things in a ticket package are offered in baseball that we as a soccer club could potentially, like, we don't currently offer it or we've never thought of it. Is there anything that you think, wow, that would be that's a neat little perk that we can include?
So a lot of it does come down to what you're accessible to have. So the main thing that we're selling is 5-game ticket packages, and it's an all you can eat. So going back to what you said and how you hit the nail on the head on that when you said it's not about discounting, it's not about giving away, it's about adding to what your product can offer, right? For us, it's, hey, guess what? You buy a ticket, right? You buy this ticket package, you come to 5 games. We're going to give you 2 for free. We're going to give you all you can eat 6 out of 7. We're going to give you upfront parking for all 7. You just got to come out 5 times. Like, that to me is insane. Like, as a sports fan, you're like, bro, I get to go in for this much and I get to eat as much. Now, granted, obviously, there are different stipulations. Like, it's not free beer. It's, you know, these games aren't for $2 beer night. It's not for, you know, specific events. There are limitations, right? Obviously, to your food, right? It's burgers and hot dogs. You're not getting a freaking rib sandwich when you, no, that's not happening. So it's adding value to what you offer. And something like section off parking, that's a cool thing that I think that we could definitely implement, at least in one way or another. Adding packages to where it's like, oh, well, maybe you could, after the game, you get to, well, we already do it, though, where you walk out on the field and you get to, like, see the players and stuff. That's something we already do. And that would kind of upset the fans, I think. Maybe something prior would be kind of cool. But obviously, all you can eat is a little difficult for us, too. But a lot of it does come down to, again, the grandstand of what we offer. Like, if we could find more unique ways to do it. But that's their main thing, right? It's adding value to what you already pay for. And it's what allows you to actually have retention. And in the terms of money, you get that money flat forward. At that point, it don't even matter if they come. Do you have the money, right? Like, you want them to come. Of course you do. That's the whole reason you're selling the product. Well, if we're looking at it from a business standpoint, well, now I have them. Okay. Now it don't even matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other reason, you know, we discount our tickets are still $5 online in advance, and at our club we even pay the processing fees. So out of that $5 ticket, we get, let's just say, $4. At the gate it's $7, because we want people to pay in advance. And baseball's the same. I can't control the weather. I want you to buy your ticket today for the game in 3 weeks. Because if we know, hey, we've sold 400 tickets, we can plan, and we're able to ramp up and down those things. Baseball happens much more frequently, right? 3 games in a row and 6 games in 8 days. And well, we're maybe once a week, twice a week. And in our community, we have the ability to ramp up. If we know, man, we got a bunch of pre-sold tickets, we better get an extra bounce house. We better get an extra whatever. And so I've always pushed on our side. It isn't about the $4, but it's about the planning that we can do, because we don't own the facility. Right, Northwestern hasn't jumped on board with DKCU yet to help. Like, you know, their name's all over the Cougar Stadium. So I think that's one of the things that we try to, like you said, is get it early. But it also helps to know, like, hey, we're 90% sold out for this week. Yeah, you can't control if they show up. Life happens, but it's the ability to just keep the momentum going forward when you know, and the walk up stuff. Even paying a premium, I don't really want the extra $2. The $2 is for me to teach you that we would like you to pay the $4 or $5 instead. And I think that's a big piece of what we try to do with the get them in early, get the commitments early. I really like that concept of, and we can track this on our end with Fanbase. Shout out to Fanbase, our Scottish friends.
Sponsor us. Sponsor the podcast.
But I think there's something there with, like, hey, this is your 5th game. Congrats. Here's a whatever. Maybe it's a hot dog. Maybe it's a koozie. Maybe it's a whatever. I think that's something that we could definitely implement.
It's like our award system.
Yeah. But it's all about like a punch card, basically, right? Hey, you get this punch 5 times, you get this. You get, if we can track it administratively with the volunteer staff, I think, like, that's a really good thing to try to implement. Do you think you're sitting down in a formal, again, I call it the playbook, right? You have your manual, you sit down, you call 850 people. That is something we've never done at the club. Like, it is just never, I don't know how, I can probably guess how to put that book together, but we don't have a Rolodex of phone numbers. We have a Rolodex of emails that you could probably put somebody behind a computer and do. Do you think something like what you're seeing and what your success rate is and their experience, if they've been doing it for 100 years, I'd say it's their experience says it's worth doing. But do you think that's something that our level with our club, that is something we should find people to try to do that? Or do you think it's different?
You know, that's hard to answer, because again, you're riding off of reputation. P- people know what the Cougars are. Cougars are one of the most successful minor leagues, at least in Northern Illinois, let alone probably from the Midwest League. People flock for this. And I mean, you've had some big names come out of it, you know, like Schwarber and names are fleeting me, right? Schwarber automatically came to mind, right? Like, you get some big names that have came out of this club. And, you know, I feel like not only would it be good as a learning experience, but it would be good to just, like, just call people, right? I mean, good example for me, I was not expecting it to be the way it is. You know, I'm used to running around, getting going, talking to people, whatever. I'm sitting at a desk for 8 hours, calling people all day. And it's difficult, mind you, and it's not something a lot of people are prepared for. I'm not trying to deter anyone from doing this either because I love it. I have enjoyed my time doing it, but it is something that you need to learn if you're going to do it. And again, the first 2 weeks are the hardest part because you don't even have they don't even know who you are. They might not even remember what your organization is. And that's fine. That's cool, man. That's what I'm here to call you for, is to remind you, hey, guess what? The tickets are coming soon. You should get one. Stuff like that, right? So at our level, no, go ahead.
No, do you think that could be accomplished? Like, obviously there's a personal touch, but with technology changing, I don't know how you are. I don't answer the phone usually unless it's already programmed in my phone. Like, do you find that, like, is the phone system more efficient, do you think? And maybe you don't know officially yet, but like, what's your gut say? Or is it better to pull that email and go, hey, Catherine, I saw you bought tickets last year. I'm your new account rep. Want to get your thoughts on this? Is like email versus telephone versus whatever. How do you react to that stuff?
I'd say I do get a more successful rate when it comes to a phone call. Now, obviously, that phone call can lead one to two ways. It can either be no, I'm not interested, and that's cool, or it can go multiple ways. But mainly, it's either yes or no, and it can be no, I'm not interested. No, you know, I don't even answer the phone. They don't even look at their voicemail. The voicemail is the biggest part, right? At least I think when they don't call or they don't answer, because then you add a personal touch. It's a nice 15, 20 seconds. Then they're like, oh, now I got to look out for an email. Like you said, people, I feel like, are trained now to not answer their phone. People don't want to talk on the phone. That is insane to me, because I'd rather at least get a voice to who I'm talking to and at least know, hey, this is a real person calling me. I'm not getting scammed. He's here to just help me. And that at the, you know, my biggest thing with sales is I'm here to help you. I'm not here to scam you out of your money or, obviously upselling is a part of it. But like, if it's something you're interested in, hey, I'm here to tell you about it. I'm here to inform you. I'm here to help you make that decision. I'm not here to, steal your money out of your wallet. But I feel like we could do that. I feel like we could. Now, you would need to set aside time. It is time consuming. I mean, the most calls that I've gone through in a day, and mind you, I'm not a master at it yet. Okay. I'm still getting used to it. My voicemails are usually about 30 seconds. I'm being trained. It's 15 to 20. Imagine if I could do that and pump through them. The most I've done so far is 120.
How many people in 100 calls answer the phone?
About 10. Usually around about 10%.
10%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my quick reaction, and this is probably too unpersonal, but my quick reaction is the voicemail has to be automated. So you're dialing the next one while your automatic message is leaving the voicemail. Hey, this is Andrew from the Cougars. And you're like 20 seconds into, you know what I'm saying? And it's like just, it's still you, it's still your voice, it's still everything. But then you're not, if I said the same thing 90 times in a day, I'm going to lose that upbeat. Hey, John, to Cal County Soccer Club. I'm going to just be rushing through it because, like, I wanted the phone call. And then do you get caught off guard when they answer? You're like, oh, shit, I have my voicemail. Like, I have my voicemail queued up, what I'm going to say. But now they answer the phone, and I got to be, like, on again.
John, don't even get me started about the amount of times that I'm like, oh, hey, this is Andrew over at the Cal County.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to answer. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my God. Well, and that's the thing, right, is like you said, sometimes you get a little, you know, downtrodden. You sound all kinds of, I'm the opposite, actually, where I'm at first when I first get in, because I get in at like 8:30. I ain't used to it. So I get in at 8:30. But then after I start getting on a roll, I will start getting more upbeat. I'll start getting more, I'll throw in a couple extra things here and there, but it's actually personalized for each time. Cause that, you know, research shows that when you say somebody's name, that automatically sparks like a, oh, this is someone that's real. This is someone that wants, you know, like they want to talk about me.
Right. They know my account. They know they have
who I am
because I've been to a game or whatever.
Exactly. So I'm actually doing every individual call. I'm doing individual voicemail, and I will sometimes throw in something a little different or, you know, but it's 15 seconds. You don't want to hold them on too long, but you want to let them know, hey, we're doing something pretty cool. You know, like we're doing fun. We want you in on it.
So I'm going to bounce around and you know this about me well enough. I don't read off script here. I just make it up. So you're selling ticket packages. So like a family thing, you come out and you do some stuff. Does you're dealing with also deal with like groups and special event stuff. You're doing that as well. Give me like the range of services, ticket packages that you deal with right now.
So for us, obviously we have a much larger facility that we work with and it's established. For us, we do a wide range of group outings and ticket packages and stuff like that. We have normal ticket packages that are just, hey, your seats are reserved from 5 games to 20 games, whatever the hell you want, right? Then you start adding on perks. You start adding on, oh, you get all you can eat with this. You get a couple of extra vouchers. You get whatever. Then you start going into like the suites. So you start getting into like air conditioning, you know, catering if you wanted, a personal bartender, whatever, right? You go through all different kinds of luxury. And right now they are personally having me just doing regular ticket packages, right? Just to, you know, fill the seats, get people in. And like we were talking about earlier, for me, that is difficult. At least because, you know me, I like to learn more about others. I like to talk to them. I like to actually let them talk. And again, I'm building those relationships. I simply have to let them know the products are, let the product speak for itself. And then when they have questions, come to me, and then I can start that building relationship. So I'm doing a little bit of everything. I also do some of the fundraising stuff. So the big thing that we offer is that you buy tickets in bulk. You buy 100 tickets at a discounted price, you resell them, you keep those profits. That is like a nail. Like people love it. They'll look at that shit and they're like, oh my God, that's free money. But for us, they're filling those seats. That's 100 seats. At least I had a call with St. Charles, the Parent Teacher Association. And they're like, oh man. Like, oh. And people get all excited over it because it's like, that's easy. You know, that's easy fundraising, right? So I have to know so many different kinds of products. I mean, I don't have to know like, oh, well, what kind of food do we offer? What kind of beer? I just have to let them know, hey, we can cater and we can get you your favorite, you know, light pilsner if you really want it, and we're good. So I do all that, but they mainly have me doing the 5-game ticket packages right now just to sharpen my teeth.
Yeah, so this is, and again, I'm not picking on specifically the Kane County Cougars, but I'm interested because I've never done a sports management sports internship. So you're doing ticket sales and stuff now through the preseason. What changes when the season starts, or is that just your role, or you don't know yet, or what happens next?
So from what the guys who were interns who are now hired there were saying to me, they were like, look, you think it's boring now, but oh my God, your days are going to go by because I take the out or the inbound calls. I take the ones and I process those. So when someone does, buy themselves or they want to just buy individual, whatever, when tickets go live, they're like, hey, you better be gung-ho ready to go because that phone is going to be ringing off the hook. And that's just how the game works. We all buckle down and we all get it because it comes in like wildfire.
So you actually will pivot to be working the ticket line essentially, where people call and say, I want to get six tickets for tonight's game, and you'll set them up and either put them at will call or email them or whatever you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a different experience because they're already calling to buy. Mm-hmm. Then you're kind of just processing, and then probably, hey, you want those six seats. Now, did you want those in section A where it's like basic, or did you want those up in
The suite or whatever?
So then you have the opportunity to, I hate saying upsell them, but to offer them additional things that they didn't know they needed or that were even an option.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of what it comes down to. I mean, if they're like, look, man, we just want, because the money, if you're going to find this crazy, the money's in the bowls, what we call it, where it's where the main seats, the main section is. That's where the money is, right? At least for the organization itself. Obviously, as a salesman, you want to sell the big suite. That's just, that's a flex, too. You're just like, hey, I sold the big suite for whatever, right? So I would say, yeah, I mean, like, that would, it's like a negative connotation when it comes to selling, but I mean, it really isn't, because you're just offering something that would be a little more luxury. Because, yeah, what if they don't know? I mean, it's the same concept that we have at Best Buy where it's like, oh, I want this laptop. It's like, okay, but did you know that we had this one?
Right.
Because you said you wanted to play gigs.
$39 more, you get 17 more gigs of whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's it's like sales. I do that for my real job, but I feel like sales, the word even has like this connotation, because it's just, you're trying to convince somebody to spend their money, and it's really, I don't know how to shift that to make it sound better. Like, we're basically customer support, mm-hmm, regarding the finances. That's really what it is. Like, the customer doesn't know what we offer, and it's my job to explain what they are and what the prices are. Ultimately, if you're especially working inbound, they're already going to buy. That's why they're calling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can't necessarily lose in those conversations unless
you just
call, find out what it is.
No, and it's again, it's how I look at it, John. It's informing them, and it's just throwing it out. Yeah, because if they, obviously, if they're on the fence, that's when you start being like, well, you get all these extra benefits with it.
Yeah, sure.
But like, hey, would you think about doing this? And they're like, no, we made our decision. It's like, oh, no, I get it. I don't take offense to that shit.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the important thing, too, is like, there's people that just don't, look, everybody's got life going on, right? And if you don't want to come to a soccer game, you don't want to come to a baseball game, I totally get it.
Yeah.
But I want you to hang up from this phone call thinking, wow, he didn't push me, didn't force me. Just like, I like the way they run their organization. And when I decide to go to a baseball game, that's the one I'm going to go to. And I think that's all you can try to, if you get the sale, you get the sale. But, be a good resource and good representative, I think, of the organization is a big piece of it. I'm curious, what is Mr. Grum, since, I mean, we've known each other for a little while, but like, what is your long-term plan? Not organizationally, like what kind of job do you like? You like sales. Where do you want to be in 10 years?
You know, man, it's so hard to answer because like my life changes on the hour, And for me, I mean, look, man, I love Sycamore. But I need to check the world out a little bit. I want to check, different areas of my life and, different areas of the United States and just experience life a little bit, And I mean, I'm not saying I want to live in, this penthouse suite of Los Angeles, like the hell, but I want to be able to at least experience a little more of what life has to offer. So, I mean, like for me, I'd love to work in the majors. I mean, people have perceptions on what sales is like in the majors and stuff like that, but I want to experience that myself, and I want to see what it really is like. And, being able to say, hey, I work over at, the United Center, stuff like that. So I want to do group sales. That is my main thing I love, because at the end of the day, that is relationship building. That organization needs to love you if they want to constantly say, hey, that group outing we went to, we want to go back to Andrew, like that's that type of stuff. Because, you know, and you got to understand, we both have worked in, you know, I mean, you were currently in was it construction, is that right?
Yeah, a lot of that, yeah.
You know, and I've worked in food for a long time, and a lot of these other careers, they need to be shown that, hey, you're appreciated. And that's sort of what kind of drove me to do more group sales was, like, I want to show these people that they truly are appreciated, that they deserve what all their hard work is well-earned, and you get to have a fun time at the ballpark or at the stadium, you know, stuff like that. So I think that's what I really want to do.
Yeah, you create that experience, you know, and you're directly involved with making sure that experience is again what you sold them, and then hopefully they want to come back. And all right, I got a loaded question, and I want you to feel comfortable answering. Good luck.
God damn it, John.
So you've dealt with a very I'm not going to say unprofessional, but we are volunteers, as you said. You know, we don't have full-time staff. We don't have set hours. We don't have that. Maybe corporate's a better word. Like, we don't have a corporate structure necessarily with our club. You've worked now with one that has a much more corporate structure, organization. And I don't want you to think you, like, it's okay to criticize. We run casually because that's sort of just me being casual, because I understand what we're doing is not life and death. I understand that it has a tremendous positive impact if we do it right, but the risk of us failing in various things is not going to impact people. The upside is so much higher than the risk, right? If we disappeared tomorrow, a few people would be sad and there'd be a thing. But generally speaking, we move on, right? And maybe that's true of all sports. But anyway, I don't take what we do. It's a release for me from life, right? To do what we do. Long preamble. What have you seen in the more corporate and then the less corporate that DeKalb County United could do better? And this is a complete permission to deconstruct our club and truthfully, like, what can we do to be better?
You know, you know me, John, I'm also very laid back. I am the type to where I hate being micromanaged. I've been in management. I have always trusted my employees until they gave me a reason not to. You know that if you task me with something, it's going to get done. Now, is it going to get done in a timely fashion? Yeah, well, you know, but at Cougars, there's an accountability, right? They know I'm going to be doing my work. They know I'm going to be doing what I need to be doing, right? So on that aspect, it's the same, but I think deadlines is something that we really could improve on. If we had like soft deadlines for everything, I would say just something just to give you an idea. And look, if we go past the deadline, just say something. Just say, look, I'm sorry, I couldn't get to it. We get it. You're not getting paid for this. There's no legal obligation. You don't sign no damn contract, whatever.
Right.
But just say something. Just say something. And if you need help, don't be afraid to say it. Because guess what? That's what we're here to do. We're a team. We're here to help each other.
Yeah.
So just making that a priority, saying, look, we have a deadline for this. We want to roll this out for XYZ. It needs to be done by this date. If you can't get it done before that, that's fine. We'll push it back a week. But just let us know.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I've tried to evolve. I mean, over the last, you know, we've only been around 6 or 7 years, but every year the staff gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my challenges is everybody's working remote. Everybody's working on their own timeline. Even if, I mean, deadlines is, that's a really good feedback. And that's something I've actually tried to work on, but I'm not very good at that. I don't give myself a deadline to create deadlines. So, but I think that's been the hard part is we want all the help we can get, but then we have to find the balance between keeping people engaged, giving people tasks. Sometimes people don't, if you say, anybody want to handle this? Nobody puts their hands up. Okay. And then, okay, well then I'll figure it out or whatever. You know, there's a group of us that seem to put our hand up or are willing to try stuff because this is what we do. It's fine. Again, like that's the thing, the whole thing is fine, but how could we be better? So I think deadlines is a good thing. Do you think, like now we have office, we have headquarters, like, do you think having some sort of regular like office hours one night a week for an hour or two where maybe not everybody's there, but maybe 1 week I'm there, 1 week Rom's there. And then if you got to come in and work on stuff, like it's like a time to force people like, hey, you have this task, you have 4 weeks to get it done. If you're having a hard time staying disciplined, come to the office for office hours. We're there Tuesday from 7 to 9 every week. Somebody's there to let you in and you can sit in the conference room and do your work. Like, is that something people would do? Or are you just like, no, I'll just do it at home. I just need the discipline to do it.
I think that would add to the discipline. I mean, here's how I operate. If I'm at home, I ain't doing it. I'm just going to be so honest because there's a million other things that I'd rather do, at least in my head. Because, you know, we work normal jobs. So it's like, well, my bed's right there. I'm going to lay in bed.
I'd like to listen to those records.
Yeah, I'd like to listen to all my freaking records here. Like, I'd like to do something. And then do something to motivate. Say, hey, look, we're going to go down the street to PJ's right after. You know, just have a beer and relax for a little bit. But something like that, right? To where, look, at the end of the day, man, people get enticed. People need motivation.
Yeah.
Something small just to say, hey, look, we're going to have a couple beers. You want to hang out after? Just get a couple things done. I really like that idea of having an office hours, right? Because then you're with your peers. You're with people that are going to motivate you. They're to help you. Because I feel like a lot of the time people don't do a task because they're intimidated by it. They're not sure if they want to do it right. They're not sure even how to start. So having your peers around and your higher ups, so to speak, there with you would be nice. So I think that's a really good idea. I like that.
Maybe we'll talk about that because I'd like to use the space. It also might help with other interns that really have no idea what they're walking into, but don't. That's why I've always struggled with interns that aren't self-motivated because we don't have office hours. So I don't get them spending 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day or 4 hours on Tuesday and Thursdays. I don't have that time either, right? So maybe this is a way we could use the office space we have. Maybe we could get a schedule where you know, you cover a night, I cover a night, Rom covers a night, Tori covers a night, whatever. Like, and we just, that way somebody's there that's kind of in charge, has the key, and then we figure it out. Maybe that's just something to talk about as a group, if that would help. But I also, you know, I'm also sensitive, like, everybody else has jobs or school or jobs and school or jobs in school and family and friends and I don't want to, like, I've always been very sensitive to overburden people. So if you say I can't handle that, then I just handle it because it was my dumb idea to do it to begin with.
But on the other side of the coin, John, you got to understand that people signed up. They gave us an obligation and they want to do this because they see benefit. No, they see benefit in themselves. Yeah, I mean, this is students. They're going to take something for free whenever they can. So they're going to take it as that. But you also need to pull them to a standard. Be like, look, you can't just do this at a job. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, I signed up for this. I can't do it 95% of the time. I still want the credit. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
That's just, you know. So holding that accountability, being like, hey, look, like, couple hours, I get it, but you do know what you walked into. Like, we explained it to you. This is something to help you. I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Sure. No, I think that's why, like I said, I go through my head all the time on how we organize, how we find volunteers, what volunteers we need, what skills do we need, We don't always just need warm bodies. You know, match day, it's nice to have warm bodies, but that's 12 times a year in 3 months. And then we have 9 months where we try to figure out, what can you do? What do you like to do? What are you good at doing? And how much can you handle? How much time do you have? And then when you have all those five questions and you have 25 volunteers like we have, that's a lot of questions to get answered. And that's where I think we are blessed with the people we have, for sure. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. But then I always want to get better. And it's like, well, okay, now we got them. How could we be better? Let's be better with what we have instead of, I don't know, I'm just always kind of trying to educate myself and stuff. So anyway, well, okay. So
well, and just to add on before we move on to whatever next subject we have, one of the questions I had written down was, what advice do I have to give? And
yes,
for me, it's trying new things. You got to understand, when I first came in, I didn't necessarily know exactly what I wanted to do. I said, throw me at the sharks, get me into something, right? And as a sport management student, you need to learn to do that. You need to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And if there's some piece of advice that I have to give, it's ask, what can I do? Not only is that going to show initiative, but that's going to show, and this is just for even anybody in life. It shows initiative. It shows a drive. It shows, hey, I'm not afraid to try something new or gain a new skill, because we can always learn something new. And especially in the sports industry, having versatility is king. It is freaking awesome. Because then, hey, if sales doesn't work out for me, well, guess what? I can do sponsorship. I can do marketing if I really need to. Like, I have that skill set in front of me. So,
for you know, myself, here's the difference. You're absolutely right. And I actually spoke with a group of NIU students early today, who interviewed me for a project. And I told them all the same old man wisdom you just spewed upon us. Grow your network. I'm a big believer in, be willing to walk into a room by yourself where you know no one. And that's something that there's a lot of people that are super comfortable behind a phone and behind a computer. And being able to just blast in with your DKCU gear and start chatting somebody up about it, that's a lost skill now. And that's actually one of the things, when you first talked to Nick, you were outgoing and your personality is robust and you're like, yeah, let's do it. And that makes it easy, because the communication skills are there, the enthusiasm, the passion for whatever it is, whether it's baseball, it's the experience, it's the cold beer, it's the whatever. Absolutely huge for people to find, get uncomfortable, as you said, and get comfortable being uncomfortable. Walk into that room and tell everybody what you're here for. And it's definitely a lost art. I wish
it is.
Wanted to try it.
It is. And it's you know, it's because of these damn things.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't actually do the video, it's a phone. Yes. It's because of our smartphones. And it's as sad as it is, that's the case. And I mean, I don't know if it's just because my dad is older. Sorry, Tony. But it's something that you're taught growing up, you know, like, don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to do this, do that. And I think that's sort of what got me into it. But also understand that, hey, if it ain't for you, it ain't for you, man. You tried it. That's what matters.
Yeah, you never know where your opportunities are going to come from either, you know. I mean, you could literally be talking to one of your 850 phone calls, and you start chatting up somebody, and they're like, man, I like the way you talk. Have you ever thought about getting into car sales? And you're like, no, I've never thought. And all of a sudden you're selling BMWs in St. Charles. Like, that's the way life works. And very few things in my life happen because you sat and waited for it to happen. You gotta actually go get it. It sounds super cheesy, old manny, but you gotta go. It may not be the thing you wanted to happen, but you gotta make something happen by getting out there and going. And that's, I think that's really, so to circle back to sports and all the things you're doing, like you seem like a super, super busy guy with school and working with DKCU, working with the Cougars a lot, popping into Best Buy as much as you can. Like, how much How much is like too much for Grammy? Like, gonna be a tough summer?
You know, man, it's interesting that you say that, because it's just like, I guess I've always been used to it. You know what I'm saying? I was an athlete for ever since I was freaking five. And you're an athlete. You know, you're five, right? You have soccer practice. You have homework from school. You want to play video games, and then you have a bedtime, right? Like, and even at five, you're like, holy shit, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And in high school, it's the same thing. It's, you know, you have 6 a.m. lift, and then you have school the whole day, and you have practice, and you have to go home and do homework, and then you have family, you know, you have to eat, all this stuff. Same thing. And that doesn't even go with the other extracurricular stuff that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, I guess it's something that I'm kind of trained in, you know, and I lose track of shit all the time, John. It ain't even like a secret, man. Like, I'll forget about something about 5 minutes after the conversation, I mean, because I have some like 50 other things going on here. Yeah. So, and I mean, I'm getting a lot better at it. I've started using more reminders, you know, saying, hey, you have homework due tonight. Like, oh shit, I have to do that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think just getting older and starting to realize, like, hey, you have to get your priorities in check, you know? So, I mean, if you threw me competing in powerlifting again, I think I'd crumble. I think I'd be done, you know? So I had stopped that about a year ago, and I ain't looking back, you know? I had my fun with it.
Well, but I think that's good to recognize that you have limits too, though, because it's all... The other thing that I need to give myself better advice is, it's okay to say no if somebody asks you to do something. You said earlier, like, if you can't get something done by the deadline, just let everybody know. If you can't take on a task, I really won't be able to get to that by that deadline. Is there somebody else that can do it? Like, I think that admitting that we can't is as important as the things we do sometimes. And our time is our most valuable resource for every human on earth. So it's all right to say no. I think it's all, keep it a balance. So I wish you well. I'm really excited. Like, obviously, I don't want you to fade away from DKCU, but I also understand, like, you're on a career path, and this is like super intimate conversation when we don't. Well, like, no, but I'm glad you're finding success, right? And if ultimately someday you got to go, hey, I got to tap out, then, you know, we'll adjust and we'll figure it out. But I think it's cool that you got a little experience with us, and hopefully a bunch more. And then hopefully the Cougars, you know, that just brings in a whole new level of stuff and professionalism and experience. And
we're going to make people cry this episode.
Probably. No, we're not. No, it's just, it's, that's the rewarding part of all the stuff we do, right? Meeting people, kind of.
Oh. Well, and how I look at it, John, is like, I look at you as almost like a dad.
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it. Because you've literally seen me grow up within the past 2 years down here. Yeah. And it's, you know, I feel the same way about you and Jenny, and like just seeing your kids grow up. Like, oh my God, what the shit? I'm telling you, we're going to make people cry. We're going to make people cry, damn it.
No, it's all good. Talk about soccer and talk about baseball and sports. Go Bears.
Oh, Bears.
So, like, what do you have any questions? Believe me, I'm no expert. Like, do you have any questions for me about craziness of DKCU or, like?
Look, man, We've talked a lot for a while now. We've what?
You've asked me a lot of questions over the last 2 years anyway, but with this,
you know, and this is like a very small portion of my life, but about a year ago, I got approached to start a rugby club out in like St. Charles, where was it? Close to like the Algonquin area.
Dundee?
No, it was, I'm trying to remember what they called it. Anyways, helped them out for like a month. Took on a role that I couldn't really do because I couldn't drive out there every other day like they wanted me to. You know, I started learning from that perspective, like, oh my God, is this what John dealt with? I was like, oh shit. You know, so I guess my question to you is, what really, truly motivated you this whole time in the past 7 years? And what has changed the most in terms of your perception?
So the answer to that question is, I believe that sport plays a bigger role than the sport itself, right? The community, the collective belief that our team is better than your team. I think the mental benefits of sport is incredible. So I'm a soccer guy, so let's start a soccer club. Particularly for men's and women's, because I didn't want to deal with children.
You already deal with those at home.
Well, yeah, but it's just youth sports is a whole different.
Oh, it's a whole different ballpark, man. I don't even want to touch it myself. Oh my God.
My approach, that was my motivation, was I believe that there's a thing here that could exist. I think there, the early stages of the club, there was enough doubters that I saw for the first time in my life, probably got that, like, nobody's gonna freaking doubt me. Like, I got that because I took it personal, right? When you help found something, it's a baby of yours, right? So to a certain degree, this is dissipated, but to a certain degree, it's still there. Is you've never been to a game in 6 years. That's all right. I'm not asking you a seventh time. You'll show up eventually because it's going to be so big that you can't help it. So there's a little bit of that. It used to be a lot of that. It was a personal vendetta to make this thing work. But as we've gained success, that has diminished, because what has increased is those special moments where you made an impact, right? Maggie Greet, right? We had people come to a game after their house burned down, and they told us what a wonderful night, and their daughter was going to start playing soccer again. There's been more and more frequent positive comments from people in the community that don't even like soccer, never cared about soccer, that thanks for all you guys do. You guys are doing an incredible job. And so now it's much more. Those moments re-energize you. And it's hard this time of year, as always. Nick's been with it since 2019 with me. This is the time of year when John gets real cranky about soccer, because it's been 7 months of off season and I'm tired of Zoom meetings and I'm tired of admin and I'm tired of spreadsheets and I'm tired of coming up with ideas but not being able to do them. I'm burnt, and then we'll have a home game and daddy's back. Like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's the special moments we've created, and not for thousands of people, but we've created special moments for 3 people, 5 people, 2 people at numerous different events. That,
and you've created something to where you at least provide a good time for quite a few. And it's, and you know, that's, like I said earlier, that's why I got in sport. Not only was it I was an athlete for such a long time, and it was like, oh, that's a good connection, right?
Yeah.
It's more because sport, in its essence, is such a unique atmosphere. It rides so much off of your brand. It rides so much off of what it's doing. But at the end of the day, it is that. It's something that you can't touch. It's not there. But it's the whole point of why we do it. And that's what I love about it. And that's why I love what we do, because it's bigger than soccer. It's uniting the community through it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah. And I think that's always the hard part too, is figuring out that is our mission, to unite through soccer. But there's a lot of ways to do that. So which way are we going to do it today? Which way are we going to do it next month? What haven't we done yet? And the ideas keep coming. And the other thing that motivates me a little bit is there's 110,000 people in DeKalb County, and if 10,000 of them know about us, I'd be happy right now. And it's been 7 years. Mm-hmm. So if we had 10 home games a year and 110,000 people came every 5 years, you came to one game. So you've been to one game in the whole history of the club, and everybody in the community had done that. That stand at NIU would be full, and we'd be one of the biggest amateur clubs in the nation. So oh, yeah. The potential is still right there. Like, we've scratched the surface, but there's so much left to do. There's so much more impact, so many more people to connect with. What would Kobe say? Job's not done.
No, it's not done.
No, so that's kind of where we're at. So I want to continue to build a thing that I don't want to be the president forever.
You heard it here first, headliner.
He was. I told Andy Hayes at our first game, my goal was to not have to be involved anymore. But
let it grow.
Yeah, I mean, I want the community to care so much about it that they go, man. But we want that organization does a lot for this community. We want it to be involved. I'm going to get involved, and we're well on our way. We're well ahead of a lot of clubs at our level. So I'm in no means complaining. But there's a lot of good things that have been done and can be done, and it's exciting what we've done, but there's work to do. So
oh yeah, no, never done.
All right, well, listen, Grum, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. I wish you all the best. I know I'll see you probably the next week at a meeting
or something. Who knows?
For our office hours that we just decided to start having. So I appreciate it. If anybody has any questions for Grum, hit us up through the club and we can get you in touch with Mr. Grum, and wish you all the best, dude. And we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, brother. I had been begging to be on this for forever, and the After Dark, episode is coming. It's brewing. That's all I'm saying.
Sponsored by Fanbase.
That's the only way we're going to get it out is Fanbase sponsors.
If we don't have a Scott on this call, then it doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. It's always a pleasure. I hope to be on here again sometime because I just enjoy talking.
I'm looking forward to you guest hosting a few times with Nick too, because I think that's another fun experience.
Oh dear, whoever our guest is for that episode is gonna hate us.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all just part of the experience.
Oh yeah, hey. Start going back. It's all about it.
It's all about fan experience. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, John. Thanks again. Let's do it.